Last day of November, November 30th, 2023. You've joined us on Thursday.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
And Todd's wasting no time jumping into Christmas theme stuff. I mean, honestly, you're a few days late if that's your bag. You're a week late. Most people say, oh, Thanksgiving's over. Put away the turkey. Get out the tinsel.
Getting ready for Christmas.
You getting fucking hyped? Are you fucking hyped for Christmas, Todd?
Yeah.
Okay, so you, within seconds, you blatantly lied to our audience and recanted the false
narrative. I'm excited about Christmas, I guess. I just like the holiday season in general.
Okay, why is that?
I've been eating canes of candy. And
you did say that you bought a giant bucket
of
candy canes.
I didn't buy it. My wife bought it. But I think it said there are 200 and something mini candy canes in there.
And you've had 140 already?
It feels like it, but it still looks to be 3/4 of the way full. I will say those things.
You're
fucking
not making a dent.
It takes a while to sort of like see results from eating from that giant tub.
To see results. Yeah, you'll be seeing results come January too. Why don't these pants fit anymore? Oh, because I had a giant tub of candy canes and holiday cookies and all sorts of other sweet.
We finished our first box of JoJo's and purchased box 2 and 3 this evening.
First of all, how many Trader Joe's are in your area? By the way, if you don't know what JoJo's are, just look in the background of our webpage, ropebynetwork.com.
Trader Joe's are there?
How many TJ's are in your area?
We go to one that's nearby. I don't know how many are in our area. I would guess.
Because I'm going to tell you something.
What are we calling an area? Like a 20-minute drive or
20-mile radius from your abode.
Let me do some research here.
Yeah, Google Maps that shit while I make my commentary. I initially, 10, 12 years, whenever you guys were out in Portland, I too found myself favoring the holiday JoJo's, which is basically an Oreo-type cookie from Trader Joe's, but instead of just white cream in the middle, it's like peppermint white cream. I find myself falling.
I would say there are 3 within 20 miles.
Okay, fair enough. I think that's the same here. I can only think of 2, but I'm sure there's a 3rd I'm not thinking of. So I found myself becoming quite the fan of the JoJo's. However, in recent years, I'll say the last 5, maybe 6 years, I am very much a fan of the white iced gingerbread men, which are fucking phenomenal and quite addictive as well. Last year, I was able to enjoy, wait for it, 0 bites of either kind of cookie. Do you know why that is, Todd? Because every fucking time we'd go to Trader Joe's, they were sold out. They never had them. People were like raiding the it's like they knew when the stock boys were out there, and they'd buy all the entire supply. So it sounds as though you guys don't perceive that that's an issue or have never seen that as an issue. Is that a fair statement?
I mean, we went to Trader Joe's this evening to buy something for someone else. And there was a full end cap of 50. They had the peppermint or the candy cane JoJo's.
Yeah.
And they also had the dipped and then sprinkled with peppermint, dipped in chocolate JoJo's. We also had some of those. There's only like 8
those,
in that thing. They're fine. I don't know. They don't need that embellishment in my mind. Like, they're fine the way they are. They don't need
it's excess for the sake
layer
of excess.
Of chocolate on the outside.
I agree. You got to give people what they love.
I mean, even for me, it's a little much to have all that on there.
But is this a thing where every time you go, you'll pick up a box or two, depending on the rations? Or are you going to start making special trips as we get closer to the holidays?
No, I mean... I bought 2 because I was like, oh, we'll probably eat another box and it'll be nice to have one. I doubt we'll purchase another.
Have you already opened the second box?
I'd say we go to Trader Joe's once a month-ish. Like, I don't know.
Oh.
It just, if
it's not your regular
grocery store. Fancy. No. It's,
yeah.
Well,
us,
I don't.
Neither us.
I assume you're this way too. You can't buy everything at Trader Joe's. I mean, you can, but.
You could, but. I see what you're saying.
If you're like my family, you enjoy a little soda
like
pop. It's
soda,
a little thin there. Or pretzels that aren't just like some weird peanut butter filled or some other, like sometimes they're a little too cute with like shit that they add to stuff.
Yeah. Like cotton candy pretzels.
Yeah. I just want straight pretzels.
Straight green and salt. Give it to me.
Yeah. They have, yeah. I mean, they do have like pretzel sticks that are pumpernickel, which are good, but it's like, it's a varietal. It's not, if you just want a straight pretzel, and I'm not saying shape, I'm just saying like malted flour or whatever.
By the way, shout out to Rolled Gold, proud sponsor of tonight's show.
Oh, Jesus, no.
No? Oh, Snyder's. Sorry, Snyder's.
I do like Snyder's better, yeah. And Utz is good, but that's more of a mid-Atlantic varietal.
Welcome to where Todd lives. Yeah, of course. They got that shit out here.
Yeah, we have many brands of pretzels.
It's a staple of the Northeast, that I-95 corridor.
We don't have to deal with that Rolled Gold shit. I mean, you can certainly purchase it, but...
Are you on the I-95 corridor? Are you north of the Mason-Dixon line? Welcome to Tasty Cakes and Pretzels Land and Utz Chips. Enjoy, motherfuckers.
Yep.
You need some soda, gas. Or no, just not gas. Need some soda, go to Wawa. Need some gas. I don't know. What's your local gas?
You can get gas at Wawa.
Not all of them, but some of them.
Most of them.
Okay.
I'd say more Wawas, at least in my experience, have gas stations than
don't.
Like 7-Elevens.
Oh, for sure. We have a 7-Eleven at the end of our block. There's no gas there. They pop up around Denver. None of them have gas. It's all convenience. I've never been in it. Can you believe that? I live I 1 mile. I've
not
lived
even
1 mile.
Even for a, just a, I'll have a little donut.
No.
Pop in there.
The problem is, it's equidistant from my house to the 7-Eleven as it is from my house to, like, the Safeway or Target or King. Like,
what's the name of your donut places? Sebastian's?
Lamar's. Lamar's. Sebastian's.
I knew it was a name. I just couldn't remember what the name was.
Lamar's is the local donut hut that we go to. But I've never walked in. Our father went to that 7-Eleven several years ago because...
Get a pack of cigarettes?
Get a pack of smokes and a paper. He wanted to get a paper. The Denver Post. So we drove to the 7-Eleven to get the Denver Post.
And they're like, I guess we have them somewhere. I don't know.
I think we have a rack.
They're over there with the
how much
antacid
is it?
And other elderly.
How about a dollar? I think it was a Sunday. You just want, you know.
How much do you think a $5 Denver or Sunday I gave away my thing, Sunday Denver
not
Post
$5.
Lists for?
I bet it's $1.50.
No,
about a Sunday
it's like
edition $5. Of the Denver Post. No chance.
I guarantee you it's like $5.
You're thinking like New York Times or some shit. Like
no. The fucking Oregonian was like $5.
Well, that's because Oregonians fucking needed the money. Let's see. Denver Post newspaper. I don't even know if it's an option anymore. How much does a Denver Post cost?
From 2009, they increased the cost to 75 cents instead of 50.
See?
I bet it's
there you
more
go.
Than that. That's from 2009.
Bunch of fucking stoners, man. Those quarters add up. Okay, you think it's quintupled in 14 years?
Know.
No. Can't be. That can't be right. The best part is we're both looking this up on the internet. I don't know if we're going to be able to find this answer. How much to buy a newspaper? I have no fucking idea. You tell me.
I mean, if they gave you the, like if they scanned it, you'd be able to see. Maybe if I look on images, I can see.
What do you mean if they scanned it?
Well, typically it says on the front page, the masthead, the cost.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying. I do see what you're saying.
I found one, but I don't see the price. I found an image, sorry. No.
It's free, motherfucker.
It's not free.
It's definitely not free, I know.
I can't find it. Why does it not list it on the masthead?
It should be. Like any good newspaper.
Like any good newspaper, State Farm is there.
Yeah, I just don't know how old these pictures are that I'm looking at. That's a problem.
Yeah. Well, the world may never know. You'll have to head down to the old 7-Eleven and say, what are you charging for a Sunday version? Well, the Sunday's thicker, so that they usually charge more.
Of course
more
it
for
is.
That.
Of course it is. Hang on, motherfucker. Suck a big fat dick. The Denver Post, Monday. Oh, this is the Monday edition. Still, Monday, November 18th, 2023. I can kind of read it. It's fuzzy, but it says $1.50.
Yeah, that's the Monday. I wonder how much the fucking Sunday is.
Denver Post will implement metered paywall December 2nd. Why is it so goddamn blurry? No one's going to read any of this if it says blurry. I was just excited I found that picture. It's got a picture of perfect ending. Denver gives Kansas City first loss in AFC West showdown. Taylor Swift swoons. It doesn't say that, but it should. That should have been the subheading. Two dead.
All
and
I can find
COVID.
Is this thing from the Vail Daily in 2009.
Oh, Vail paper's probably $18. You shitting me? Come on, DP. What the fuck? Who cares? What a rush. Oh, that's a special edition.
That's been picked up by other things. The Colorado Independent also quotes that. The Sunday Post will continue to cost $1.50, but that's from 2009, so I guarantee it's more than that.
That's probably dead on then. Anyway, who the fuck cares? No one reads newspapers, but yes. But our father, clearly, who picked one up. Although, to be fair, he's visited many times since, and I've never seen him pick up a newspaper. Although, very recently, he no longer stays here at the home. He stays in a hotel. And he absolutely is reading the newspapers at the breakfast nook area at your local Hampton.
So you can get back issues of the Denver Post, postage paid for $10 on Sunday. But I don't know what the sticker price is.
Sticker. Who's paying $10 to have that shit delivered to their front door?
I mean,
here we go. Yeah.
We purchased the newspaper from when my elder daughter was born. And then when my younger daughter was born, I think there was no newspaper or we just didn't do it. But we still have it.
You purchased it the day she was born?
We back purchased it because we were doing other things on the day of her birth, like attending to that. I mean, mostly my wife and me attending to her, but
as
running out to grab the local newspaper was not a high priority at the time.
But like, aside from what I've seen in an Office episode, what's where it's framed? Andy brings that in as a framed gift for Jim and Pam. What's the like? Is that's just something you throw in the basement, and then when you die,
I mean,
your daughter will go in there and be like, "Oh,
it's in my younger daughter's closet at the moment." I don't know. It's just I have a lot of goals to be more organized with that sort of memorabilia for my children. I think when they're 15, they'll be like, oh, look at this headline. It talks about the new iPhone 3 or new iPhone 4 or whatever that came out with my...
Sure.
And we'll be on the iPhone 29 or something.
11, yeah.
Or whatever it is. The cost of milk was $1.50, and now it's $12. I don't know. I feel like they're, that sort of nostalgic thing is interesting. Our mother was very good at keeping those baby books. We have not been.
Can you have Anne text Jamie and tell her that? Because I feel like Jamie's depressed at how bad she has been at keeping up.
I guess the plus side
one.
Is
I don't think she wrote anything.
Our kids will have 4 billion photos of themselves. Like we were watching videos of the girls when they were like from 5 or 6 years ago. It's pretty cute. Like that's more meaning, but I wish I had written down. Again, this is a very male thing to do, just like assume your wife is going to do stuff that should be an equal responsibility. But
I do that every day.
A part of this, I think, was because our mom was the documenter of those things.
Correct.
And my wife's family just had like some photographs in a drawer, so she has like no... Not exactly, but they did not have a very... Orderly,
no concrete way to go back and
documentation of their childhood. It's more like ours. So
yeah.
I think part of that is just like how you grew up and I don't know. Things are more complicated now. There's just more shit to do.
Well,
our mom was probably not working for the first 5 or 6 years of our lives. outside the home.
I think that's absolutely true. I know she wasn't.
And most women and men are. So that's
yeah.
a big chunk of time that's taken out.
But yeah, this is a parallel point, but that's what I told Jamie when she was getting upset that she hadn't written down any of this shit. I'm like, all right, but okay, so we don't know the day she got her first tooth. Again, look through those 8,000 photos. Look for one where her mouth's open, and when you first kind of see it, be like, all right, it was a few days before that. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't, the exact date doesn't matter, would never yeah. matter to our daughter. Just make something up. She won't know the difference.
Yeah. No one knows. If you want to have it documented, you can for sure, like, get it down to the month and just make up a day.
Yeah.
And otherwise, like, I don't know, some of that stuff, I will say it's nice to see that your parents cared enough about you to write that stuff down, but also.
But they had to. Because it would be lost also, forever.
It's one of those things you just got to kind of let go. Like, I wish I washed my car every week, but I don't. You know what I mean?
Have you washed it this year?
Yeah. not me personally, but I take it to the car wash every
single day. Oh, okay.
Most of the gas stations around here, it's like
have car washes.
Whatever, 15 cents cheaper a gallon if you get a car wash. Ooh. So I'll do that every so often.
Adds up, baby. $20 for a car wash, save $1.45 on gas.
Fuck yeah, yeah, you save almost nothing. I mean, my car holds discount. 10 gallons, so.
Yeah, it's fair. Yeah, I don't know. I just threw that out
as an example. There's a lot of stuff that I wish I did more regularly. Clearly, washing my car is not a major priority for me, but.
Eating less candy canes more regularly. That's another one.
That's more a habit, like, no. though.
It's more gorging during
being healthier very in general. Specific yes, I seasons. Should do that, but
well, yeah, there's that too. But yeah, I mean, I don't have the sentimentality to honestly care too much about that sort of stuff. And again, when my daughter's 10, if she's like, "Well, why don't you know this?" then I guess I'll feel some level of guilt. I obviously don't now because she's not old enough to be asking those sorts of questions. So
yeah, I mean, I would say if you can and are willing to do it, it's a great idea.
Of course it is.
I wouldn't beat yourself or your wife's self up about it.
I don't beat my wife.
No, so. You know what I mean. I would encourage her not to get too, don't be yeah. too hard on yourself. She's got plenty of other stuff to do.
Definitely.
She's got two children in the home.
She's raising two kids. You're right. And then there's Stella too. So
two kids
and a canine. What else? Oh, did you, switching topics completely. Did you, I assume you did, happen to look at your Spotify Wrapped for the year, which has been released?
I did. I don't really, as we've talked about, or maybe, did we talk about this on the air?
We did.
I don't have a paid version of Spotify. Also, my daughter changed the name to her name. She hasn't listened to it at all because she also doesn't have a paid version. So it didn't skew the results, but I listened. Like, my total number of minutes was, like, super low. Like, I don't know, 5,000 minutes or something.
Oh, wow.
Most people have, like, 10 times that. Or it might have been lower than that. No. It was very low. So, I mean, I work out of the home. I have my whole record collection here with me. So, I generally spin vinyl all day. I don't listen to a lot of digital music outside of the car anyway. When I'm in the car, I'm usually listening to podcasts. So I would be interested in my podcast thing, but I know pretty much what that is. It's just this podcast. But yeah, obviously. I it was like my number one song was like the Lemonheads. I was like, I don't even remember listening to the Lemonheads this year. I guess one day I listened to it like twice or something, but the number of plays was like three, or my top song I think was played twice. Like that.
Wow.
That was
okay.
And that actually was the Dismemberment Plan. It wasn't even the Lemonheads, but they're like, you listen to Lemonheads more. So I must have listened to two albums by the Lemonheads versus like one album by all the other bands or something.
Gotcha.
It did say very I listened to my listening style was listening to an album from start to finish, which is 100% true. I don't do mix.
I got I that do, too. Yeah. The singles thing is not for me.
I don't do singles and I don't do playlists.
Yeah. I definitely don't do playlists. I don't want someone else to curate my music. Fuck off. I can do it myself.
Or the only time that happens is if I'm listening to something and it like auto
it plays through
other stuff. And
yeah, sure.
Random. Like, wait, this isn't a song by band X.
Right.
I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? I only want to listen to albums. I don't know. I don't have anything against playlists. It's just.
So let me ask you this.
I prefer to listen to albums.
They had two new features this year that I'd never seen before. One was the sandwich of like different genres. What did that look like for you?
Well, because I had listened to such little music, they did not give me a sandwich. I was really disappointed. I was like,
really?
No sandwich. No sandwich in mine. I was like, what the fuck, man?
That's wild. Jamie had spot on the number of minutes you just mentioned, and she had a sandwich. I think maybe you have to let it just run. You can't skip.
I did. I looked at the whole thing.
And there was no sandwich. That's interesting.
I'm trying to look at it right now to see if I can find it.
I think it's like the third or fourth slide. That's my recollection. It's pretty early on. Mine.
It won't appear at all.
It was funny. Mine was emo, then also Midwest emo, which I thought was interesting. And then like it was emo, Midwest emo, punk, skate punk, and trance. Now, if you're wondering why trance music fits in, A, it doesn't, but B, it's because around January and February of last year, in order to get our daughter to eat, I would play EDM music because it would like hype her up and she'd eat. And I specifically played the song Castles in the Sky, which was not my highest played song this year, but probably listened to it 25 or 30 different times along with some other trance music stuff. So I think that's why that made my sandwich, which I thought was pretty funny. And then Jamie later told me, she was like, you can like toggle between a profile for you and a profile for your kid.
So oh, yeah, I saw her post something about her kid.
Yeah,
kid
which is
Spotify.
That's a good tip there for those. That may not work for you, but we do have the premium. So I made sure to add that so it doesn't fuck up my thing for 2024. But in addition to the sandwich thing, if you can ever find it, it looks like you're watching it.
I can't even find my fucking Wrapped.
You're Wrapped?
In general. It's not showing up. Oh, there it is. Hold on.
Okay.
That's go ahead.
The other new thing that I thought was interesting is, and I assume you had this, is that it says your listening preferences are similar to people from this area.
No, nope, I didn't get that either.
It puts a pin in a map. Really?
Yeah.
Man, that's wild. So mine was Philly, which I thought was funny. Because it said people from Philly are more likely to listen to, and it listed a few bands. One of them was Braid. I'm like, no, I don't think so. But it was like Braid, Thursday, and what was the other one? It was some other like hardcore band, like Dance Gavin Dance maybe. I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. Like none of those, like Thursday's from New Jersey, so okay. Dance Gavin Dance, I think is from the Midwest. Like they have no connection to Philly.
I'm just watching this and
yeah.
It's showing my top five songs. The number five song is a song by Planes Mistaken for Stars. I didn't know I'd ever listen to that band. So again, like
top five,
my
baby.
Spotify thing is not a great reflection on.
But you know that band. Maybe that's like a top.
Yeah,
pick
I've heard of that band. Okay, I listened for 1,480 minutes.
Oh, that is terrible. Yeah, I had 15,000 minutes.
I mean, I listen to a ton more music. I just don't listen to it on Spotify.
No, it's fine. I know. We're not judging. That's just a very small number. And again, if you had premium, I think you would listen more because you can listen through albums and like directly through with no, I mean, the no commercials is huge. It makes a huge.
Yeah, it's not even the commercials. I just, like I said, I don't listen to streaming music that often because I'm in my room and I can play vinyl.
Right.
I don't have anything against streaming music.
I know you don't. You can't. You'd be a fucking buffoon to have something against streaming music. But, you know, you could also stream
I'm
jazz
so
records.
I'm pissed that I didn't get the sandwich and the where people are like me.
Minimum of 2,500 minutes, you fucking music novice.
You think that's it?
I guess so. Because, again, Jamie
I listened to 518 minutes of podcasts. I've listened to a bunch of the Ringer's 90 songs that explain the 90s. I think that's probably of my 1,400 minutes. That's clearly about half of it.
That's half of them. Yeah, I listened to like 140 minutes of podcast total, and it was like an Office Ladies episode. And so I just never listen to podcasts on here.
And the only reason I listen to podcasts that podcast on here is because it's only on Spotify.
It's only on Spotify. Yeah, as it should be.
I would normally listen to it on Apple Podcasts, which is where I listen to all my other podcasts. Yeah. I didn't get a fucking thing. No sandwich. It's so annoying. No sandwich, no
Do nothing. Better next year, Todd. Do better. New Year's resolution. Listen to 5,000 minutes of music on Spotify in January so that you'll hit the minimum already.
So it and says my it top artists are the Lemonheads, the Promise Ring, Tool, the Breeders, and System of a Down. So I would say I listened.
System of a Down?
I listened to those five bands That's exactly surprising. One time each.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe I listened to like a Lemonheads album that had more songs than the other bands. I don't know.
System of a Down. That's a shocker for me. Are you
again?
A fan,
I'm sure I was like, oh, I heard the song Aerials, and I'm like, I like that song. It's catchy, so I'll listen to the album.
Or
maybe I was listening to the podcast actually, and they were doing no 90s songs from that, so I don't know.
Toxicity.
Why.
Oh, okay, yeah, 99. Let's listen.
The
to Toxicity
of our city.
I think that was after 2000. Actually, the only reason I know that, by the way, is because when I lived in LA. I'm pretty sure it was then that song was going fucking bananas, and that was mid 2001. So I feel like Toxicity was 2000.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that album came out in the 2000s.
Because we listened to K Rock every day, and when I was working at the Fox Studios, in our little
Chop Suey 2001.
Yeah, there you go. Every day, the rotation was like seven songs. Kevin and Bean had their
morning
pretty
show. Good album though.
It's not bad. I have nothing against System. It surprises me that's in your top five bands.
Well, again, I think I know, listened to like selection. Seven albums, and that was like just the fifth one.
Yeah. It had more songs than two of the others, so it just had a higher spend rate there. Yeah. Anyway, so I hope all of you,
really
by the way.
I don't understand how my top songs could be Dismemberment Plans, all from the second album, but that's not in my top listened bands. Maybe I didn't listen to the full album.
Yeah, maybe you actually did just rinse.
But why would I listen to
the
songs twice? I don't know.
Sounds like a question.
Doesn't make any sense.
Should be internalizing, Doug.
I don't think I did, though. That's the weird part.
Spotify is telling you did. And if you deny it, that's why you don't get a sandwich.
Yeah.
You fucking liar. Self-liar. Anyway. So yeah, check out Your Wrapped if you haven't already. I don't need to tell people that it's out there if you listen to
also,
Spotify quite a bit.
Fuck Spotify, man. They should pay people more.
Well, I mean, they got a model.
Yeah, but it's screwing over bands.
I think Bill Simmons would disagree. He'd be like, no. Let's hoard more money so they can pay giant amounts to podcast and podcast networks.
Yeah, Taylor Swift doesn't need $100 million from Spotify. Like, pay some of the fucking bands that... are indie bands.
Okay,
apparently
so let's dive into this.
Like two-thirds of their music catalog, they're not going to pay anything to next year. They did something where you have to be over a certain number of streams to get paid
it's
anything
like
at all.
Yeah, it's like YouTube. You have to have 1,000 subscribers before you start earning a single dime, or 10,000. I think it's just 1,000. I mean, look.
They didn't pay for the music. Why should they get anything?
No, of course not. You want to hear what their argument would be?
We're providing a service, the software. I get they have to pay that, but
no, that's
they
not
made
what I was gonna
$65 billion in profit or something last year. It's
no.
A godly amount.
$65 billion? No way. No chance.
That sounds wrong, but...
At $12.99 a month? How many fucking subscribers do you think they have? 4 billion subscribers? Every person on Earth is subscribed to Spotify? You're not subscribed
million,
to Spotify.
Sorry, not billion.
Oh, okay. Don't get me wrong. That's a lot of money, but... Way more reasonable than 65 is what he said. $65 billion.
My
I don't think Apple made that in profits last year.
My factor was maybe a little bit off.
Todd Math, ladies and gentlemen. $65 billion in profits.
Yeah,
for
you've
Spotify.
Heard of Girl Math. This is Todd Math.
Really earning that dollar off the backs of those bands. $1 billion at a time. Every four
they're
days
not,
we make another
they're not
billion.
Paying my top streamed band the Dismemberment Plan shit, but they're making $56 billion off of them.
You think with $56 billion in profits they could give you a sandwich in a fucking locale.
I will say that
Was
I talking to you about this? Maybe I heard it somewhere else that
yes.
The rap thing is fucking amazing marketing. Like because
oh yeah.
I don't even listen to Spotify, and I'm pissed that I didn't get a fucking sandwich or get the local, like, where other people are. I'm like, I don't give a shit about Spotify.
We spent 15 minutes talking about this. That's how important it is to society right now.
I'm curious. It says 56 million pounds, so it's probably closer to 60
million. 65
million. 65,
70, I keep forgetting it's a European company. It just seems
Swedish.
So American. South American, like Napster, American baby, rock flag eagle bitch. Anyway, so yeah, check out your Wrapped if you haven't seen it, and if you haven't seen it, you've been off social media for a couple of days.
Yeah, any track receiving fewer than 1,000 streams over the calendar year gets no money.
Yeah,
and they pay 3/1000ths of a cent per stream.
Is that an actual number, or you're making that up?
Sorry. 3/10ths of a cent per stream. I was looking at it wrong. That's a dollar. So 3/1000ths of a dollar.
Oh, boy. Okay. So what I was going to say in terms of what Spotify would say is, listen, yeah, of course they have infrastructure to pay for and employees. I get all that. And that's fine. Of course they do. I think everyone agrees they have to do that. But they would say for those smaller bands, maybe those bands that don't even get 1,000 spins, a band can go on stage and go on tour, they can play a local show and say, hey, check us out on Spotify. And that's a great way to market the band without having a marketing team. And so that's the service they're offering to get those bands to the point where they can start making 3/1000ths of a cent.
Bullshit. They can stream on anything else. They could pay them more.
Of course they can. But they don't, because Spotify is the behemoth.
No, they stream on all of them. Spotify's not. They have more users, but.
That's what I mean. There's more reach or outreach. And it doesn't cost anything to put stuff on Spotify. Obviously, we put this podcast on Spotify every week.
I
don't want to disclose. I don't want to disclose our financial records, but let's just say that 3/1000ths of a dollar. Every spin, it adds up. All right, guys? It does add up. Yeah.
Yes, you should listen to these 90 minutes several hundred times to get us paid more.
That's the one thing I'm unclear of is, does it just have to start? Does it have to go a certain percentage?
I don't think they pay anything for podcasts. It says for songs.
It should. Yeah.
Because podcasts, I assume, like, I definitely, if you make over a certain... If you have a certain audience, they have the dynamic ads that Spotify probably inserts because they own the company that we use now.
Yeah.
That I can't remember their name, but whatever.
Who's we?
What do you mean? What do you mean?
You said they own the company we use. You and I?
Yes.
Who's we? Okay. I don't know if you're talking about your work. I don't know what you...
No.
I lost you for a second there. No. Yes, they do. Anchor is the name. Sorry. Yes.
Boom. Just banged into my microphone stand. I apologize.
I know you did. Yes, Anchor. Boom. They do own Anchor. That's correct. What are you doing?
I was looking to see Anchor, but now I don't need to.
Okay. That's what I figured. All right. Let's move on, Todd. We've been talking about music. We've been talking about podcasts. Let's wrap up this year's Stereogum Top 40 Bands of 2023. The first week we did 10 bands. Last week we did the next 15. So today we do the final 15.
The final 15.
You done?
You're not getting that content on fucking Tidal.
No. That's why no one's
Spotify
paying for it.
Exclusive shit right there.
No one wants that content. They want to get paid to listen to that content. Unfortunately, that's not how this business model works. So let's walk through them as we have for the past 2 weeks, as we discuss each band.
Tiptoe through the sound turds.
That's right. And that's most of what there is this week. There's a couple gems. There's a couple shiny turds this week. But I will say,
let's see, we started with
jumped
what?
Out of me.
Nourished by Time.
Nourished by Time. Song called Daddy, Baby.
Do you want me to
yeah,
kick it
I think
off
that's
again?
Gone well. I think that's gone well.
Let's see. Nourished by Time. It's Baltimore native. I put crappy dance funk? Question mark. It's like the vocals I thought were terrible or terribly recorded. It sounded separate from the music. Especially when he's singing, it sounds like just some dude on the street corner singing to me. It was better when he rapped, but I don't know. The effort in his delivery was minimal, I would say.
So I called it dance hop because it had a little dancey feel to it.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, I said it reminded me of, this probably will be a reference that possibly no one listening will get, including yourself. It sounds like Miami Horror, but it has male vocals. Because Miami Horror typically has no vocals. And then I said, very layered, and I thought about it more, and I said, I very much dislike the vocals. And I didn't know how to describe it. I like what you said. It was like he wasn't trying. He wasn't putting the effort in. I don't know. It's just like it's kind of spoken word, and then it's singing, and it's like the song has
it's
five.
It's better when
parts,
it's the
too.
Spoken word part to me. Like the singing is not good.
I don't know if I agree with that. The spoken word is just the whole thing's just bad. It's just disjointed too. Again, it's like five songs smashed. It's like the guy recorded this song over 10 years. Every couple years, he did another 30 or 45 second segment. And then he just said, fuck it, slam them all together. And that was the song. I did not care for this song. This was bottom five for sure. Mostly because of the vocals. I very much dislike the vocals in all aspects.
Yeah.
So sorry, Nourish.
I think I agree. I mean,
which, by the way, I feel bad because I'm a big Miami Horror fan. But that's just what it reminded me of. So
I hope Nourished for Time is doing well and streaming tons on Spotify. I mean, I've listened to it a few times now, but yeah, it did not do it for me.
Yeah. It was not the worst recorded. We'll get to that soon, but it was up there. So.
Oh,
okay.
Worst recorded. Interesting. Next up, we have Pain of Truth.
So... this is listed as Pain of Truth. Oh, never mind.
200 stab wounds on
Spotify. Yeah, I wrote 200 stab wounds on Spotify, but it looks like I'm now reading the stereo note piece for the first time. So it looks like just Pain of Truth. Okay, so go ahead.
So I put metal with sort of hardcore vocals. It's got some chugga chugga parts. Heavy, sludgy, but it's not like doom. I said it feels like they are from Boston or something, and then I read in here they're from New York. Or it. I don't know if they actually are. Oh, yeah, Long Island. It definitely has
bro. It's Strong Island all the way, baby.
Core
yeah.
kind of thing.
Very bro-y. Yeah, frat boys listen to this before they go out and rape at night, for sure. I had put quite simply, this is a reference that most people should get. I put Bad Hatebreed. Like, I think Hatebreed's a pretty good hardcore band. This is like the bad version of Hatebreed. They're trying to do the same thing. Just super aggro. Straight ahead, kind of bad metal, bad hardcore. And the comment I said is, I said, it feels like other tracks might be good. I don't know. I didn't take the time to look into it, but I feel like other songs might be okay. This one specifically called Actin' Up, Actin' with no G.
Yeah, the fact that it's called
very
Actin'
appropriate.
Up, it's like get in the pit.
Yeah, just get
fuck
the boys
your friends.
Riled.
Like,
you
I
know?
Can just see the whole, like.
Oh, yeah, the whole scene, of course.
The,
like I
the
said.
Four letter with the X in the middle hardcore thing.
Yes.
If you've listened to any like I can't remember the name of the band I was gonna reference. Any New York hardcore, you've heard this band before.
Yeah. You've heard a better version of this band. This band is trying to be that. Again, Bad Hatebreed. That's all you need to know. If you like Hatebreed, but you think they're too good?
Sick of It All, that's who I was thinking of.
Oh, Sick of It All. That's good, yeah. Listen to Pain of Truth. So. / 200 Stab Wounds. Well, now I'm very curious what the 200 Stab Wounds is all about. Is that like a... Was that another band that was featured on this song? That's what
I don't
said
know. Like, I didn't detect any, like, collabs in the song. I mean, I listened to the whole song.
There's no such thing as a collab in hardcore. That just doesn't make any sense. So, who knows? Anyway,
I mean,
I guess
it kind of sounds like there could be two vocalists. So maybe 200 Stab Wounds
is
the other
vocalist?
Dude.
It's possible. The other dude with the black hat, with or the short brim, and the fucking black
or
sweatshirt.
The other, they brought in extra guitars to go, chung, chung, chung.
Yeah, that's 200 Stab Wounds.
He has his own distortion pedal that brings a slight nuance to the music.
He brought it from his ma's house.
We shouldn't be talking about this. We're going to get our ass kicked by the 200 definitely, stab well, wounds.
I don't see myself showing up in Strong Island underground hardcore scene. Of truth.
All right, we'll move on.
Yes.
Next up we have
Poison Ruin.
And I put Garage Rock with the... This song in particular had a really long and boring intro.
Yes.
This sort of like ambient thing in the morning, in the beginning of the song. I was like, oh, this is some sort of like ambient ethereal shit. And then they finally got to the point of the song, which is, it's Harvest. Like a minute in.
Yeah.
Before they get to it. but it sort of sounds a bit almost like the Ramones for a little while, but not as catchy.
Hmm.
Also, Poison Ruin sounds like the name of a band that's been around forever. Like, is there another band called Poison Ruin? This must exist somewhere else.
I mean, there's a band called Poison. Or there was. Yes,
definitely. I don't think this is Brett and CeCe reforming. But I certainly
how fucking amazing would that be if it turns out they're like, fuck it, we're going all the way back to the beginning. We're ruining our name. We're going to call ourselves, I got it, Poison Ruin. Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't even remember what genre of music this was, but I'm very proud of what I wrote for the description. I said, it sounded like a... the wording here doesn't make sense, but you'll understand what I'm saying. It sounded like a found footage cassette of a band practice in a barn in Iowa. Like, it literally sounded like you took a tape deck and hit record and play at the same time, and then everybody played their instruments. That was the quality of the recording. It was beyond garage rock or garage rock. It was bad.
I'm listening to it right now. It's not that bad.
It's bad. It's terrible. And it sounds Midwest, even though they're from Philly, which I did not realize, obviously, until I just got this.
Also, yeah, there's an umlaut on the eye of Ruin. I don't think you can do an umlaut on an eye, but they did.
Isn't there another band? Oh, it's coming up. It has a weird...
Yeah, Snooper has
Snooper.
Two...
Yeah, Snooper has that. I thought it was another umlaut.
They have two tildes over the O's. Also, yeah, not
the final band has an accent.
Correct.
Yes.
Punctuation.
They're just fucking around at this point. So, anyway, okay. This one, I was very underimpressed by Poison Ruin, for sure. Moving on.
Next up, we have the grossest name band on the list of Pupil Slicer. Ugh, like that's just that.
Just the image is fucking
like,
with you? Yes.
Yeah. Like, gave me, like, chills. I don't know. Eyes and teeth are things I don't like thinking about being destroyed.
Oh, I know. Like, dragging teeth along a chalkboard? You don't like that?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Pupil Slicer, yes.
So, I said tight, almost mathy rock emo. This is probably the most closely aligned to my musical interests generally.
Sure. Yeah,
It has the screamy parts and melodic singing, which I liked, and some chonky bass riffs. It's a little cheesy though, especially towards the end of the song. Like when you hear it for a while, you're like, "You're taking it a little too far."
Yeah.
But in general, I thought it was pretty decent.
Yeah, I had punky and almost at times screamo-y hard rock. I said it was hard to define, which I think is what you were saying. Like it's. There's even a section with two-part harmonies, like Ooze and Oz, basically.
Yeah, and I'm like, that's what I said. Like they have the singy part, but they also have some screamo vox in there.
Yeah, it was very well.
But they have like some really tight drum and like rhythm section stuff too.
They do very well produced. I believe
it's the
song
opposite
was like
of a Poison Ruin.
It is literally the opposite. You go from Poison Ruin to Pupil Slicer, and there's a $40,000 difference.
I will say this week there's a lot of like harsh juxtapositions between songs.
Yes.
And I know they just did the playlist alphabetically, but
it's alphabetical.
Like, holy shit.
Yeah, for sure. In fact, this song and the next song. But I put well produced. I said it was too long. The song was like 5 minutes and 40 seconds. I said they could have cut out one of the verse chorus combos and it would have been fine. I was just like, oh, we're rinsing and repeating again.
Yeah, it
did have a bridge.
It doesn't need to be 6 minutes.
It did have a bridge, which was kind of thrashy. I kind of liked the bridge. I thought it was pretty good. But that was like 4 minutes in, so I was already kind of sick of the song by then. I was like, oh, okay, that's pretty good. And then they did another goddamn verse combo. So, yeah, cut out the third one or the second one, and this song would have been a little better. But overall, aside from the name of the band, I agree with you. This one was actually, I was surprised. I didn't think I would like it when it first started, but it kind of grew on me during its 19 minutes. Never-ending
yeah,
whale.
I would say of this 15,
this subset,
probably yeah. Top five. I mean,
yeah.
Not a lot of winners this week, or this 15, to be honest with you. But
I know one that you definitely love. We're getting to it here pretty soon. Yeah, you're right. No. Okay, let's move on.
Should we move on? Next up, yeah. We have Scarlip. I said Scarlip is on Onyx Corner because they say back to fuck up about 27 times in the first.
She says Onyx
seconds.
Right at the very end of the song, too.
She says up, Onyx?
She shouts out Onyx.
I did not notice that. I said aggressive female rhymes. It's very old school, and it's like she has a very straight like delivery. Like rap now is either like mumbly or very quick or.
Correct.
There's a lot of the
there's none of that
pineapple pie. What's that called? What's the triple beat thing called?
Alliteration. Oh, you're talking.
No, in music when you have three beats together, what's that called?
Triplet.
Triplet. There's a lot of like triplets now in rhythms,
yeah.
Typically, or seem to be, or maybe right. That's 10 years ago. I don't fucking know. I'm not a hip hop expert, clearly.
The
music is like pretty straightforward.
Yes.
It says here that she, Swizz Beatz, who's executive producing Scarlip's debut, touts her as the new DMX. She does kind of sound like a female DMX, like has that sort of aggressiveness.
She really does. It's interesting. I'm just now looking at the Stereo Gum article, and the picture here looks nothing like the picture that was on the
Spotify preview.
The Spotify like album cover or whatever. So it's very interesting. Whatever, it doesn't make a difference. So yeah, it's only like a 2 minute song. I put hardcore female rap. I said it's kind of repetitive lyrically for a 2 minute song. There's a refrain about 8 times in a row about I think she's from New York. I'm not sure. It's unclear. No, I'm kidding. She says I'm from New York 1,000 times in the song, and it's 2 minutes long. I said it's not my thing, but I guess it's okay. It's something that if somebody was banging it in their car and there were other tracks that I could listen to, they might be better. This is one of those situations where I think this is probably, I hope for her sake, this is not the best track on the album because it's just, there's nothing special about it. But yeah, whatever. It was fine.
Yeah, it didn't do a lot for
there's
me.
There's no mystery to what it was. Much like there's no mystery for the next song either. But yeah.
Honestly, if you listen to the first 15 seconds of This Is New York,
you got
that's
it.
Probably what she says New York.
Yes.
You've got it probably.
You've covered
it. You can probably play out the rest of the song in your head.
You can move on to the next song and you should.
The next sound.
Todd, what do you think about
Ol'
Sexy Red?
It's by Sexy Red. It's called Pound Town 2.
The pounding again. Yes.
I said, not good ? I don't know. Her flow just seems kind of lazy. Like her rapping style.
Sure.
There were two guest stars. One of them, Nicki Minaj, and the other
Tay
somebody.
Yeah.
I thought they were better and it's filthy again. Like the, whoever it was, Lil, what was his name?
Lil Baby.
No, it was Lil something.
Oh, earlier this year.
Tyler. Oh no, that's
yeah, Lil Tyler. No,
he was the filthy guy.
I'm getting there. Thought it was. Was it Fust? No, just kidding. Debbie Friday. It doesn't fucking matter. No one cares. Yes, there
no,
was another
somebody,
filthy one.
Somebody
was
filthy.
Tyler.
I feel like she's
it was
the...
La Tyler. Hang on. No, it was because I was like, he was the one that talked about fucking every day. I'm like, you're 17, bro.
So I feel like La Tyler and Sexy Red are like a couple because she was talking about taking a lot of the stuff that he was offering to give. Felt like in this rap. I don't know.
Imagine that. A song called Pound Town 2 that was...
It was, but I thought it was interesting, just like, it wasn't like I'm dominating, it's like, yes, do these things to me, which...
Yeah, she wanted to get her pussy scratched, is what she kept saying. I didn't understand what that meant. Like, are you looking for rough dicks? What's... How does one get their pussy scratched?
Jesus Christ.
So, Poundtown 2.
Not my thing.
Poundtown 2, again I ask, this is the second time in this list this year. What happened in part 1? Why are all of these songs coming up with part 2? I need to know the backstory.
It says she's been rapping for a few years before her single Poundtown became meme bait and proved that rap's raunchiness envelope could still be pushed.
I don't think she's doing much pushing. She's asking for pushing. She definitely is asking for pushing. But I don't think
says she raps her ass off while sounding magnetically detached. I don't know what that means. I understand
there we
the
go.
First part, but
I just looked it up. So the La Tyler song, coincidentally, was Law and Order Part 2. And I asked last week what happened in Law and Order Part 1. I'm asking the same question this week. I can't pick up
just like
midway
got
through
in
Pound Town.
Pound Town 1.
Because I don't know what happened in Part 1 of Pound. Was it more pounding?
Yeah, you can't
was
come
it
in
the initial
the
pounding?
Sequel to the original. You got to see. You got to have both parts.
And I got to, you know, I'm sorry, Sexy Red, but you didn't complete the story. Is there a part 3 forthcoming? Can we get a conclusion to Pound Town? Are you getting scratched down there or what?
It's a three-act play.
But anyway, that was my note. Again, I asked what happened in part 1, and then I said, this song absolutely made Todd uncomfortable.
Yes.
Also, it's terrible. Yeah.
It's not good. Like...
Like here,
I know I don't listen to a lot of hip hop, but there is good hip hop. I feel like they're giving
there
us
is.
Shit hip hop in
this
list.
This is shocking for the sake of shocking. 30% of this song is the N word. Another 20 to 25% is some sort of sexually graphic nature, and then the rest are just like linking verbs. Like there's nothing. There's no creativity. I do agree, and I don't know if it was Nicki Minaj or the, what's the other one, Tay something? Whatever that part was, I was like, this is 800 times better than whatever
the
Nicki fuck
Minaj's,
Sexy Red is.
I think it was Nicki Minaj's part was way better than...
it was really good. I was really Sexy's. Impressed by it. But Sexy was terrible, so let's move the fuck on.
Next up, we have Snooper. Again, yes. Double O's with umlauts, so it looks like eyeballs with... Eyebrows above them, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll go for that.
I said Snooper was sort of a southern garage punk.
Interesting.
I don't know if this sounds like the Super Suckers, but that's what I imagine the Super Suckers sounding like.
Oh, that may be who I was thinking of. I was trying to
remember
think of a four
what
fans
they sound
of.
Like. It's been a while, but it was not terrible, but also not amazing. Sort of my takeaway from that song.
So here's what I said. I said, is this the music of the TikTok generation? It was 66 seconds. That's how long the song was.
It's too short. Or
so
I mean,
said,
I don't know if it's too short, but it was very short.
Right. So I said...
Not too short.
This could be... Right. Not to be confused, too short. I said, this could be like the theme song if Jackass rebooted their show. This could be the opening theme song.
Definitely could be a
with like prank
TV
videos
intro.
Happening in the background. Just cut up real short. So... And it did remind me of some band, but I couldn't. Maybe it was what you said. I don't know. I couldn't think of the name of the band. I thought like Guster for a second. I was like, no, that's not it. I don't know.
No.
Yeah,
Guster doesn't sound like.
That. I know. I know. That's why I knew that wasn't it. But for some reason, I got stuck in my head. Blocked any other band names were coming in. But yeah, just kind of straight ahead punk. Just very maniacal. And again, I could see it. I could see it at the opening of a show with quick cuts of people doing press.
Yeah, I could see that too.
Yeah.
Actually, if Ridiculousness needed a new intro, I feel like that could be on there.
There you go. That's
like
they don't
him falling
they just
out,
keep...
or just different people like racking themselves on things or
yes.
whatever that show is.
Breaking their bones. Yeah, that's they don't need a new theme. They've made 9,000 episodes and they just keep cranking them out. But so clearly not.
They still make new episodes of that show. I mean, that's
there's
basically
five,
all MTV
there's
is.
There's five
now, right?
a week, and there's five new ones a week, like every week.
So I've watched it a couple of times. It's basically just them watching YouTube clips, right? And commenting.
100%. Yes. That's all it is. With themed categories. They'll put up a category like balls to the wall. And it's like three or four videos of guys getting their nuts smashed against a wall. That's the only thing that differentiates it from you just going out to YouTube and finding funny videos. So
it's a curated collection of nonsense.
It's very curated. Yes. By the same people that bring you the Museum of Modern Art. It's the same curation level. All right, let's move on. That was
all right,
stupid.
Next up,
the song ended 5 minutes ago because it's a 66-second song. So let's go on to
Soft Cult.
Yes.
I just said this is a very schizophrenic week because we go from Sexy Red to Snooper to Soft Cult, which sound like they're from three different universes.
100%.
Very dreamy pop music. It was fine. I don't.
I put ethereal female vocals, kind of an indie rock sound. This is adjacent to what over the past few years and even this year we've gotten a lot of, which is like female vocals with that indie sound. It's not exactly the same, but it's adjacent.
It's way more like chill, though. There's not like any rock to this.
Hence the name, Soft Cult. So I said there had to be one in this batch because up to this point we hadn't heard that kind of music yet. I said it wasn't too bad. It didn't make an impression on me, but...
Yeah. When I say it's fine, I'm like... It's not making me uncomfortable.
Right.
Drawing me in a ton either.
They list these alphabetically, with the exception of Snooper, which was just kind of a quick pee break. Before that, you had Sexy Red and Scarlip and then Pupil Slicer. And so I think after that barrage of those three...
Yeah, it's quite the palate
cleanser.
Soft
Cult sounded even softer. Yeah, it's the sorbet before the fucking dessert comes out. So it was fine. Probably dead in the middle in terms of songs for this batch.
They say there's a grandiosity to this music that connects the dots between the Cocteau Twins and Evanescence.
I don't see that connection. No.
I'm not a huge Evanescence fan. I think I've heard their single and maybe one other song, but
you know what they sound like, and they're a powerful presence. This is the opposite of that. So
I mean, I would say to me it kind of sounds like the Cranberries if Dolores was a less powerful singer,
a terrible
only
singer.
Sang the quiet. They're good singers. They're just not as their voice doesn't draw you in like hers does. Like her, has that sort of like the music. I think feels similar where it's kind of like dreamy in background. Not
ethereal.
All
Cranberry
songs are that way, but so the first couple albums definitely have a fair amount of that and. But her voice cuts through all that. Their voice just sort of blends. Voices, I guess, sort of blend into that.
Blends into the background.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Does not sound like Cranberries, so don't listen.
No. I don't mean to imply that. Next up, we have Sprints.
Sprints, sorry.
I said, again, this is sort of a garage sounding, but this is better than the earlier garage sounding band of Snooper and Poison Ruin.
Yes.
Lots of raw energy. It's really just kind of like straight ahead rock. I said it to me kind of sounds like if Queens of the Stone Age were fronted by a woman.
Huh. I could see that. That's interesting. Yeah, female led again. I put angsty punk. I'll call it punk. I'll give it punk. I don't even know why, but I put it's kind of annoying. And I'm reading that and I'm like, all right, why did I say that? Just listened to it 2 hours ago. I don't know why it kind of annoyed me, but I guess it kind of annoyed me. They're a band out of Dublin, which you would not have known. At least I don't
know. Yeah, they don't sound particularly Irish. I don't know what Irish sounds like, but...
Yeah. It says a firework... Well, it sounds like the Doors.
You too.
A firework of guitars and feedback setting off behind the lead vocalist. Yeah, I don't know. I clearly didn't like it. I don't even remember why. That was all the notes that I wrote, so... Didn't impress me. Unless my well is getting the bad grade from my dad. That's my excuse.
Fair.
Bottom third. Okay.
Oh, no. This is definitely in the middle. Maybe upper.
You think it's in the middle?
Me.
Okay. Fair enough. Definitely not for me.
I don't know if we're
going
to get to the part where it picks up a little bit in the song.
Oh, is it that long? Is this a long one? Do we need to...
Expand? 3:46. I mean, it sort of takes off at about a minute 15.
That's
prologue
right.
Prologue is a little.
That's okay.
Brooding.
That may be why it annoyed me because it's a waste of time. I fucking hate that. If you're gonna put in like like a quote from a movie or something that's kind of interesting, and then you pop into a song, fine. If you're gonna have something funny or like a really slow long build up that makes sense, fine. Don't have nothing and then start a song. It's fucking stupid. Don't do secret tracks anymore. It's not 1999. All right, fucking put your album together, put your tracks together, and release the goddamn music.
All right, we'll move on. Next, we have Squint.
Yes.
I said hardcore vocals with poppier punk music. The guy has a great scream. So far, this was probably my favorite song of the group, and my throat hurts just thinking about trying to sing this way.
Trying to
like
record
he's definitely
vocals.
Shredding his vocal cords. It sounds to me. I don't know. There's ways you can do this, I guess, but there's no way he doesn't have laryngitis after every performance.
If they ever perform, there's got to be ways to do this. Yeah. Yeah, I put poppy and punky all at once! Exclamation point. This is the one. Okay, I said definitely reminded me of a very specific band, but I couldn't put my finger on who. Although I just remembered who it was, but I'm never going to remember their names. It's a Canadian...
Pup?
Not proper. Pup! Yes, yeah. Pup. That's who this pup. Reminded me of. No, it's not as good as Pup, but that's who it reminded me of. That's who it sounded like. So I put short, catchy, all that good stuff.
I'd say
I
the
did
music
like this
is more poppy than... Pup is.
Yes, Pup is a straight ahead punk. But this definitely had punk elements.
Yeah,
it was good.
For sure.
I like this one a lot. And for whatever reason, when I kind of previewed these songs on my drive home, I was driving, I was just flipping through them for 10 seconds at a time before I sat down and did the real analysis. And every time I saw All, I thought of the band. His name of the song was All.
Yeah.
I thought of the band All, which is a good thing. Like it gave me a positive association.
It doesn't sound like the band All, though.
It sounds nothing like it, but I had a positive association with it, which is, it worked in their favor, I think.
It does remind me of Pup as well.
Okay.
And
I'm glad
that's
you
definitely
that
a positive association.
Yeah, I would have never thought of that. It's a CD that's in my car. I can't go out and look at my car right now. I'm glad that hit me. Okay, good deal.
All right, next up we have The Tubs.
Yep.
I actually was... listening to this while I was doing some work and I completely missed this song because this is another song. It's a minute,
it's
90 seconds.
Seconds
long.
Yeah.
But it's actually super catchy, like indie power pop. I'm glad I went back to listen because this song is actually really great. I like this song. This is definitely top five for me.
Interesting. So I put Irish rock. I said it was very expectedly Irish. I said, and so I'm sure some people liked it. I don't know. It was just, to your point,
was one of them.
I'm sticking with what you said initially. I was not doing anything. I was standing in the kitchen listening to this, and I'm not lying. I got to a minute five, and I looked at Spotify, and I was like, should I just skip the rest? I had 30 more seconds to go, and I considered skipping it because it was just...
Oh, stop. You barely even hear the whole song. It's done before...
I know. That's why I stuck with it. I listened to everything of every other song. I listened all the way through with Sexy Red talking about her pussy scratch, so I figure I could put out 25 more seconds. 25 more seconds of The Tubs. But yeah, I was going to make a joke about The Tubs and Dead Meat. Like, that's a good visual for what I thought this song brought to the table, but since you liked it so much, I'll just leave it there.
I liked it, yeah.
I was underwhelmed. Definitely not top five. Hanging on by its fingernails to the middle five for me.
Wow. Next
okay.
up.
Yeah, let's do the Bandcamp one now.
Yes, not on the Spotify playlist because they're not on Spotify, I guess.
Right.
Undulation, only on Bandcamp. Black metal band. The singer in the Bandcamp description goes by The Executioner.
Which is amazing.
I just put eye roll on that.
Oh, I love it.
I didn't realize that the singer was female, so I said takes his sweet time getting into it, but she does have a good growl screech. The music has like that anthemic quality with fast and slow metal parts, and it sounds like a black metal band. I mean, they're good at black metal. If you like
so,
that, you will enjoy this probably.
You and I both listened to this right before we started recording. Before this program, we found their Bandcamp. There's six songs. I listened to a handful of them. You listened to a handful of them. And then we both gave a more detailed listen to the track that someone said was their favorite track. Do you think that she does all of the vocals? Because
yes.
Some of it, you do. Because some of the growls sound really deep. And we've heard women that can sing that deep. That's fine. It's just, I'd be very impressed if she does all the vocals, because there's even some singing parts.
Like it's as I was telling you, there's like a minute long clip of them playing live, but it doesn't really show. It just shows one, maybe the second guitarist or the lead guitarist, because he does like a double finger tap part.
Yeah.
But you can't really see anyone else. But it seems like she's singing the whole thing. I don't know.
So I will say that the cover art for the Bandcamp and Lizard team looks like. It's got that font where, like, you can't even read what it says.
Yeah, it looks like a black metal.
98% of black metal bands use it. Like, if I didn't know this band was called Undulation, I'm sorry, I would not know that by looking. It just looks like fucking vines that grew together. I will say that in the Bandcamp reviews, somebody writes, Unhallowed and Miasma-era Black Dahlia Murder. Go fuck yourself. Those two albums are like untouchable for Black Dahlia Murder. Miasma is probably my favorite one. And Unhallowed is fucking incredible. This band sounds nothing like those two, so I do not agree with that at all. The instrumentation is fine, but it's not. It doesn't stand out. I also thought the production quality was not great. I know that's but one aspect. I think the fact that a female lead singer named The Executioner is fucking awesome. Like, why not name yourself The Executioner? Especially when the other guys in the band are Dylan, Nelson, Zach, and Seth. Like, it just works out perfectly. Hi, I'm The Executioner. My guitar, Dylan
Nelson. Dahlia Berry, though.
Yeah, Dillian Dahlia. So he's a fan of Black Dahlia Murder, I hope. That's why that's there. But he's got a long way to go to sound like him. But this wasn't terrible. I need to listen to more of it. Like I said, we kind of did this at the last minute. Because it wasn't part of Spotify playlist, which is how I was listening to all of this. I'll give it a few more spins. Also, again, it's free to upload music to Spotify. Let's go, Undulation. Get it up there. Put it on Spotify. You want to hear it.
Maybe they don't get ripped off by Spotify.
Okay. How much is Bandcamp paying? Nothing.
Well,
they can sell it.
If you buy, you can get their digital album for name your price, so maybe they're making a few bucks.
Okay, maybe. So, it's okay. Where are they from?
Seattle.
Oh, Seattle. That's right. Seattle. The land of rain and black metal, as you know.
Yeah. That's all I did was listen to black metal.
I mean, what else is there to do when it's cloudy 360 days?
Black it up.
Okay, three more to go.
Wishy. Straight. I said this belongs in the alt 90s group. More fuzz guitars and female vocals with some nice harmonies. Could be catchier, though. Like, it needs a hook, I think. It's kind of like floating around.
Kind of wishy-washy.
Me in. Yeah, kind of wishy-washy.
The name of the song was Donut, so they get a free mark right there just for naming a song Donut. I put
donut.
Dueling male
okay.
Donut. I think I put dueling. My autocorrect made it dialing, but dueling male female vocals over kind of a driving rock beat guitar. I said this would destroy on college radio, and it might actually be in the process of doing so. I don't know if someone's college radio. This very much had a college radio feel to it, which is the same description as well.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff always does well on college radio, so that was
Or did
that
back
was the
in
impression.
The day.
Yeah, that was the impression I got. These guys are from Indianapolis. A indie rock paradise, for those that know. And I'm going to say, it says the final sentence here. I'll read it. It's a vibrant, unpredictable spurt of indie rock that travels through dream pop and shoegaze. Speckled with idiosyncrasies and
not in this song.
That always returning to a jangly chord. So first of all, bad grammar. Second of all, can we stop just throwing shoegaze into every goddamn description?
Yeah, I don't,
let's
I don't
define
hear the shoegaze
what shoegaze
in this.
Is, and it's not this. You can't be shoegaze and jangly pop. They're two different
genres. In fairness,
genres.
There may be shoegaze songs. The one they chose does not reference shoegaze for me.
All right, fine. But still, I feel like people
or
just throw that shit out.
Or dream pop, for that matter.
Well, yeah, true. And it's a fucking review, a one-paragraph review, so of course the writer has to sprinkle in as many $3 words as they can to get their money's worth. So, yeah, not this song.
Is shoegaze a $3 word for you?
No. Idiosyncrasies, Oh, like things you don't need to say. So, but yeah, this song, Donut, is not shoegazy at all. You're right. Maybe other
Do
songs.
Not call this shoegaze.
There we go.
Do not. Okay.
Next up we have World's Worst. I said this is also alt-rock-ish with some cool guitar harmonics. I always like that sort of a novelty thing for me.
I know you do.
But this song has a better hook than Wishy Washy,
yes,
which makes me like it more. And I said this definitely would have been an indie rock hit from like 1993 to 1996. This would have been very popular. I mean, very popular in on the smaller scale of like indie rock.
Of course. Very popular as far as that's concerned.
I mean, they say they reference grunge, which it does have a little bit of a grunge feel. Not like
a touch.
I don't know. I think that's more just the distortion of the guitars and the guy, the way he sings.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like this song. This will probably be my top five too.
Touch of grunge, touch of shoegaze, of course.
Does it say shoegaze? There's
kidding.
No fucking
No,
shoegaze.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. These guys are from none other than Salt Lake City, which I just don't think of any bands coming out of Salt Lake. I think a very popular like metal band is actually from Salt Lake, but like I don't know. I can't think of any other band that ever came out of Salt Lake. But everything you just said, and it's very reminiscent. There was one last week where I made the comment that it feels like these guys could be signed to Sub Pop, and it turns out they were. I don't think this band is, but I said...
Oh, right. Yeah, this definitely could be a sub-pop band, especially from those early to mid-90s.
Yes, I said 90s indie rock very much has that same sound, exactly what you were saying. I said another sub-pop, or maybe even Jade Tree potential signing. I really enjoyed this song. I thought this was top three for me this week.
Yeah, I'd probably put it top three for me.
And
looked up bands from Salt Lake City, and... The ones that I recognize are Iceburn and Alkaline Trio. Did not realize they were from Salt Lake City.
That's not how I think. I was thinking it was like, not this one specifically, but like Iron Maiden. Like I was thinking it was some huge, you know, arena stadium type metal band.
I don't see anyone at that scale, but
that's fine. I could be wrong.
Just might
I could
not
be
know their name.
Yeah,
Octopella is from Salt Lake City.
Yeah, definitely not it. I may be thinking of the fact that like Slipknot's from Omaha, Nebraska. It's just one of those cities where you wouldn't think that a really successful, really popular band would be from.
The Google page, when I Googled bands from Salt Lake City, they reference the Tabernacle Choir. So if that's maybe not the most...
That's who I was thinking of. I love when they go on tour.
There's a band called Visigoth from Salt Lake City.
Could you imagine, like, if after the Tabernacle Choir show, like, they're out in the lobby, like, signing T-shirts and stickers and things, just fucking tearing it up for Jesus?
Yeah.
That'd be amazing. Love those Tabernacle. We went, as you recall, I'm sure.
Yeah.
We have been to a performance. I don't remember it. I remember.
Still have that signed T-shirt.
I
kind of
remember
T-shirt.
Being in there. Yeah. I was foolish enough to have the guy sign
the chest. The fifth soprano really struck me, so I had her sign the shirt.
I figured I'd get that she'd sign my chest and then I'd get that tattooed, but I didn't know you had to be older than 11 to go get a tattoo. And I couldn't get it in Salt Lake, so I had to shower because that was during a ski trip. It's a long story. I don't want to go into it. I'm still embarrassed by it. Scott, put your shirt down. What? I wanted her to sign my nipple. What do you want me to tell you? All right, final band. Final band for this year's top 40.
Final band is a solo artist named...
Correct.
Yune Pinku. Oh, it's producer and singer Asha Yune. I said dance pop music, catchy, nothing amazing. I like the music more than the vocals. Like the music was kind of interesting, the singer not so much.
Yeah, I mean this is straight up, I think I'm saying this right, I have friends who have ever heard this with castrate me if I say this wrong. I think it's house music. There's like a bunch of different subgenres of EDM, but yeah, this is very straightforward. Nothing too unique. No crazy beats. I said it wasn't terrible. I could see a room of shroomed out teens really enjoying this and spinning their glow sticks around.
Yeah, break out the pacifiers and
Yeah.
Dance with passive. Yune.
Exactly. But it was fine. I mean, there's just a genre of music where this is all you want to
hear. I don't like any of the songs.
Yeah, well, no, I wouldn't say that. There's some, again, house, trance. I'm not a jungle fan.
Yes, those two genres, I'm not going to be that into.
There are some songs within those genres that, like, literally hit the right chords for me from, like, an emotional perspective and, like, have... not have an impact on me, like I start just tearing up initially.
The emotional perspective of that.
But no, where I'm just like, fuck yeah.
Yune Pinku.
Let's go fuck shit up, you know, or whatever I'm looking to do that day. Let's get that, do that presentation at work, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know that.
But Yune's music is not it, if you know what I'm saying.
I mean, you don't know. It could be.
Yune's song, the song this week, which was Nightlight.
She
and maybe
could
that's
have another
why.
Banger in the can waiting.
I assume she does.
Bring you to tears.
I assume she does. I will say, just as a general rule, thinking about this genre of music, talking about people like Skrillex or Martin Van Buren or whatever, all these like the Chainsmokers used to be this, but they've kind of gone a different direction. But all these people that have like residencies in Vegas or in Malta or whatever. Steve Aoki is another one. I'm insanely jealous of the fact that you can go up there and fucking hit play on a CD player, which, let's be honest, we know that's what they're fucking doing. And then just fucking keep the crowd going for
CD player, doofus,
for 2 hours, whatever. If you've been doing as long as some of those guys, Calvin Harris, you started with CD players. But to go up there and just like keep the crowd going and make $5-10 million a year, I'm jealous of that. I'll admit it. I could do that. It's not that hard. I could put together some beats. But I will also say that I've watched... Hang on. I've watched YouTube videos of some of the guys that do all the production. Most of them do. Some of them don't. And the layers and the minutiae that they get into. And, by the way, the studios, the home studios they've built with just flashing lights. I mean, it's like a fucking Christmas tree all around you. I don't know how they know what the fuck they're doing. But... I respect the hell out of what they do because, you know, you think, oh, it's just a beat and then some female vocals or whatever over it. That's all you have to do. I do understand that it's very tough to put that stuff together. It seems like the changes they're making are so small that most people can't even hear it. But I think probably within that community, certain guys get a lot more respect for what they put into the production value of their trance music and, you know, making the beat drop at the right time and all that stuff. So I give them
I'm looking at her Instagram and it says, the Malaysian, this is from a collab post with Hunger Magazine, which I guess interviewed her. The Malaysian Irish artist Yune Pinku, real name Asha Yune, is carving out a new space for a niche group of ravers, the ones who hate to rave. I hate raves because... it's not my scene. I get so nervous and overwhelmed, she tells Hunger.
Hmm.
So I thought that was interesting.
So it's like easier.
Also funny that we're like, called it sort of EDM and rave music and definitely is.
She said the exact opposite. Yeah. Well, she's wrong. It's definitely EDM.
No, she said, that's what I'm saying. She confirmed that.
Yeah, but she hates the rave scene. EDM being electronic dance. She's trying to take the D out of EDM.
No, no. She said she's making a space for a niche group of ravers, the ones who hate to rave. Her music is for that scene, just she doesn't want to be there. She'll have someone else press the button. And
she wants someone else press the play on the CD player. That's right.
Cut her a check.
She'll take 80%. You can take 20% for pumping your fist for 2.5 hours. Yeah, I don't know. It's a scene. The London scene. She's from London, even though she's Mongolian. Or she's based in London, I should say. So yeah, there you go. That concludes the list for this year. Top 40 new bands 2023, according to Stereo Gum. Yeah, I don't know. Closing thoughts on the list. I'm not surprised. This is one of those things that it is fun to do because we do get to listen to music that for the majority of these I would never listen to otherwise. I'd say it's pretty rare over the number of years that we've done this that a band like pops off the page, and I'm like, I'm going to listen to that band that I still listen to this day.
Yeah.
But Yune, that's okay.
Has a half a billion monthly listeners. 509. Whoa. No, sorry. Half a million.
Jesus.
Do that again.
Todd. Fucking retard.
509,000.
Wait, so now it's 509,000? What's the fucking number? Where's how many commas, you idiot?
One comma.
Okay, and there's three numbers on one side and three on the other.
Yeah, six digits.
Okay, half so 509,000 listeners.
509,000. Did I say that right? Why can't I do this?
You just said 509,000.
Yeah, 500,000, 509,000. That's right.
It's not 509,000. It's 509,000.
That's what I said the first time, and you said no.
No, you didn't. You said 509,000.
No, the first time I said 500.
No, the first time you said a half billion. And you made me, fucking moron.
You made me reconsider it because you said I was.
You added three more zeros. 509,000.
Yeah, that's right. 509,000.
Anyway, yes, that's a lot. Is right.
That's a
you
lot
finally
listeners.
Said it correct.
That's more than most of these other bands.
And if I'm correct, if you're correct, that's $1,527 a month. That's
maybe.
A lot.
Yeah.
But again, I can't trust anything you're saying.
Some of those things, because I'm like, 50. Do these people really make that much money from this? Because that's a good living.
$1,500 a month? No, it isn't.
Oh, I thought you said it was... What did you say it was?
$1,527. $1,500 a month.
That's it? Jesus Christ.
500,000 views. But to your point, you know, if you're Taylor Swift and you have 500, 900,000, 100 million or whatever, you know.
Taylor Swift has 107 million.
First of all, listeners. Are you sure that's the right number?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
107 million monthly listeners.
Okay. So
she's a whole 2 comma instead of 1 comma.
That's $321,000 a month.
That's insane. There's no way they pay her that much.
I don't know why they would. She doesn't need it. And again, I might be off by it. I mean, I don't know what you said. You said 0.03 of a penny,
three
and then change it
cent.
To a dollar. So I may be off by a decimal here, but it's either 3 million or 321,000 that she gets a.
It's probably 3 million.
It's probably 3 million because she, you know, her and Bieber and fucking the Despacito guys.
Yeah, I mean she's the definitely the big money earner for this sort of thing.
Oh yeah, for sure, like, absolutely. Which is why when people are like, "Oh, why do you just release your album on Spotify?" Because if that goes up by 10x for a couple months, I'm getting literally millions of dollars. I'm not going to make that up. You know where she makes all her money, obviously, is ticket sales, though. I mean, that goes without saying. I've heard some insane stories about
tickets. I just multiplied it. She makes $300,000 a month, $320,000 a month.
That's what I said, $321,000 a month.
But then you said 3 million, didn't you? You said you.
I said it could be 3 million because I don't trust what fucking decimal place you're putting the 0.03, 0.003. I don't know. You're
that's,
a fucking
that's
idiot.
That's 0.003, which is what I
know
read,
that.
So
because that's okay. Well, that's what I put. So that's good. 0.03 of a dime. Okay, slow down. Let's
just
do dollars.
4 million, roughly 4 million a year is pretty good.
Did you really just do 321,000 times 12, Todd? How stupid are you? Just do times 10 and then add 640 grand. I mean, come
no,
on.
I just
you did though. That's what you
number.
Did. That's what you did.
But
yeah, 3.9 million a year. I take it.
If I do Perry Grip, he writes kids' songs. He was in the band Nerf Herder, if you remember that band from the 90s.
Of course I do, yeah.
He has 2 million listeners per month.
Okay.
So he's making pretty good money.
I mean, it's not bad. I'll take it.
No, it's not that great. It's only 6 grand a month.
Yeah, but if all you're doing is writing silly And I would assume he has other streams.
400 million songs. They're all about like a minute long.
Yeah. I'm sure he has other sources.
It's raining tacos. There's cat flushing a toilet. There's some great songs that he has. I mean, the good thing about being that is, you know, kids are fucking just listen that shit over and over.
Just spinning it.
And he's getting those fractions of a penny just each time.
Cha-ching, cha-ching. One stupid kid in one day could make him a few bucks. And if you have hundreds of thousands of kids out there doing that, if not millions, that's how you make the real dollar bills. What was Nerf Herder's big hit? Was it Sorry? Was that their song?
I don't know if they had a big hit.
Oh. Nah, it's fine. I don't need to go down that rabbit
hole. Oh, they do have a song called Sorry.
I think I'm confusing them with who was the
popular?
Popular. Who was that? Not a Surf.
Not a Surf. Yeah, I always get them.
Not a Surf and Nerf Herder. That makes sense. Yeah, all right. But I've lost interest. All right, Todd. So that concludes it. Another year. Another 40 amazing songs. Shout out to those bands that were able to make Todd uncomfortable, including Sexy Red and La Tyler.
Just as a quick point of reference, Nerf Herder, by comparison, only has 31,000 monthly listeners.
Oh, wow.
Versus Perry Grip's 2 million.
My, how the mighty have fallen. That's a shame.
Well, I mean, he's making the money off his solo project. He doesn't have to split it with those other three chuckleheads.
That's something else to factor in, which makes, like, Taylor Swift's revenue better than, well, I guess the Yune chick or whatever. She gets to keep it all as well if she's a solo artist. But anybody that's actually in a band, a four-piece, a five-piece, you gotta, you know, you're only getting 20-25% of that, whatever that bottom line number is. Oh, man, what can you do? It's the state of things today. All right, Todd, we're going to call it a show there. I'm going to ask you again because I don't want to commit to this unless you're ready. You got the email for the rewatchables next week?
Yes, I should watch that this weekend.
I'm going to do it this weekend as well. It's going to take some work, Todd. You're going to have to take some notes either on your phone or a piece of paper.
I took notes on this fucking shit we just did here. Fucking 40
songs.
Yeah,
but rewatchables is, I feel like it's going to be tough. I've listened to a lot of the episodes, the Ringer episodes recently, the rewatchables, and they definitely, They do some research.
And I've seen that movie 25 times already.
I'm not worried about the seeing the movie. It's finding out the stuff. I won't lie to you. I went ahead and looked at their IMDb, just like the trivia stuff. There's a bunch of fucking nuggets in there. You need to check that out. There's a bunch of good stuff that could fall into a number of categories that I didn't know. So, especially the casting what-ifs, which admittedly was the one I was most worried about. I was like, how are we going to figure this out? IMDb has us covered.
Oh, interesting.
There's a bunch of those.
What's the guy's name? The male lead? Creepy dude in the office, but her
Swollen.
Boyfriend? Swollen. Yeah, what's that guy's name?
I honestly don't remember his name. I know that he went on to have a not very successful career, but I don't remember his name.
He is a Baltimore native. I think I've told you that before.
Oh. And that's the kind of shit you're going to get when you listen to next
his
week's
name is
very
Brian.
Special. Brian, there you go. Next week's I thought you meant his actual name. That's why I had no idea.
Oh, his real name is Josh Charles.
Okay, Josh Charles. So one of those guys with two first names. Love it. But that's the kind of insight and little nuggets of info you're going to get if you listen to next week's very special. It's been like 2 years, maybe three, since we did the Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. We're doing it again. With Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, a classic film from Todd.
I think
and
we should
youth.
Take wagers on whether the babysitter is currently dead.
Okay. But I feel like obviously one of us is going to have to look that up.
For listeners, I already know the answer.
Of course.
I mean, it's a pretty safe bet, I would say.
I mean, the movie's what, 91, 92?
91.
91. The babysitter in the movie was like,
then.
Yeah, 84 at least. That was 30 years ago. So she's either in the Guinness book or she's dead. So I'm going to put 100 grand on her being dead at this point. But anyway. Okay, but we'll talk about all sorts of stuff. We'll talk about the film. I don't know how I'm going to do the clips. That might be a challenge, but maybe I'll just go see what's out there on YouTube. We can play.
She lived to be 85. I know I'm spoiling that thing, but.
LIVED. So she's dead. Okay.
And she was whatever, 85 minus 7, so 78 when she was in the movie.
It took you way too long to get that number. But yes, okay, 78. So she didn't quite see the...
She was also in Ghostbusters, apparently.
Okay, that's enough. That's enough free preview for the listeners.
You gotta pay the toll. You guys are gonna be excited for this.
You gotta pay the toll.
Dashing off shit right now.
Put us in the kitchen and let us fucking cook. That's what's happening next week on the Rewatchables. Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead podcast. I'm very much looking forward to this. I listened back, not to the entire thing, but to the Temple of Doom one. We didn't do a very good job. This one's gonna be much better. We're more organized.
That was, I blame you on that.
Of course you do, because no one doesn't prepare me for the show except for me. Oh, I didn't prepare you?
Yes.
It's not my fault. You just fucking watched the movie the night before, and they were like, all right, we're going to talk about it. Anyway. All right. So,
did you do something different in that scenario? I don't think so.
I took some notes. I had some actual notes.
I had notes.
You wouldn't know it. All right. So that's next week. We thank you guys for listening to this.
Eat a dick.
The Eat a Dick Stereo Gum episode. Check us out on the website, bropodnetwork.com. Shoot us an email, thebropodnetwork@gmail.com. Actually, shoot us an email. If you're still listening, at thebropodnetwork@gmail.com, let us know if there's a movie you would like us to see us do. If we don't like it, we're not going to do it. But if you come up with something good, we
can even wait until after we do our amazing show next week.
Or you could reply to the Rewatchables. That's fair. That's a fair point. Wait until the product's revealed before you start to order.
See if it's worth your time to send us an email. That's a good point. I mean, it definitely will be. Don't worry about it.
It's going to be amazing. I'm actually very much looking forward to this. So,
if Scott's invested, at least be 50% good.
Motherfucker. All right. Check us out. Slide into our DMs.
You will do a good job. I can't speak for
myself. Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. Okay. I 100% agree. And I'm very much going to be dedicated to it. I'm going to make... Jamie's never seen the movie, if you can believe
it.
So I'm going to make her watch it with me this weekend.
Do you think I can...
Because it is a fucking classic.
There's nothing... Do you think my kids
except for the weed
it?
Smoking. I was thinking... I knew you were going to ask that question. Except for the weed. But there's no like...
They... So...
There's no sexualized
my
stuff.
My older daughter, she was... Buying one of her friend's grandmothers died recently, and we went to the store.
That is funny.
That's not funny. Jeez, sorry. Todd. We were getting some stuff for them to help their mom out, whatever, so to occupy their time. And she wanted to get some stuff for her friend. And she's like, "Oh, I want this peppermint like lotion. It smells like peppermint." And I was like, "Oh, I don't know if we should get this because it had like a big weed leaf on it. It was CBD." I was like. Yeah. I was like, "It has marijuana." And she's like, "What?" And she was like, I can't get this. I was like, "It doesn't have any hallucinogenic things. It just has some of the other
cannabis properties
or whatever."
Yes.
And
was this a like, Trader Joe's?
I'm not.
Is this when
that.
You were
it was
at Trader
Target?
Joe's?
There's a huge fucking weed leaf on this little $3 lotion, peppermint lotion sample.
I mean, we see that shit out here a lot. Like the local Petco has a bunch of CBD products for pets, but. That's out here, so I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I mean, I know Maryland now is recreationally legal as well, but there's no THC in that product, I'm assuming. I don't know. I didn't look at it that closely.
Kids are smoking peppermint lotion.
They're just mainlining that to get mildly high.
Find the vein, baby. Find the vein. All right.
But I like the fact that she had no idea what that was. I was like, good.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's actually good.
And she was instantly repulsed by it and was like, "I'm not getting that."
That's also good. That's two wins and one trip to Target. Anyway, all right. So slide into our DMs on X or Instagram, the_bro_pod. And yeah, thanks for listening to the Stereo Gum Top 40 Bands of 2023, Top 40 New Bands of 2023. We do appreciate it. Tune in next week for the Rewatchables episode of Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. It's going to be off the chain. And we thank you as always for listening. Until next week, everybody.
Peace.